yourself.
I thank you for your support. I thank you for your care. We cannot change the world for everybody, but we can change the world for a few people. So thank you very much. Okay. Now, let me pray, and then I'm going to open up the Word of God. Almighty God and loving Heavenly Father, I thank you that you're a living God, and I thank you that you speak. And I would ask this morning that you would speak to our hearts, that you would say something to each one of us today. And I pray, Lord, that I may give you the glory and the honor that you deserve. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, it really was quite a surprise to me when Charlie read the passage of scripture that he read this morning. Now, I don't think I had said to Charlie what I was going to speak on. So it was a little bit of a surprise, because that is the passage that I would like to speak on this morning. So, if I can find my notes, that is. Otherwise we could be rambling all over the place. I will read the passage of scripture to start with. Oh, there it is. It's Charlie's stuff. Look, he's left all his stuff here. Look. Put it down there. Okay. Right. Off we go. Romans chapter 12, verse 9. If you've got a Bible, Romans chapter 12. In my Bible, it's 1139, but that might not help you at all. Okay, Romans chapter 12, verse 9. It says this: love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. I was reading this book of Romans. It was over a year ago, so you can see I'm a slow learner and I don't produce many sermons. But anyway, over a year ago, I was reading this passage of scripture, and what really struck me, what stood out to me, is this bit when it says, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Now, it may surprise you that I'm getting a little older. Physically, I am finding that I do not quite have the same energy that I had when I was younger. And sometimes I get a little puffed these days. Now, it might surprise you, but that's the way it is. And I notice physically I am slowing down a little bit. But I don't want it to happen to me spiritually. I want to keep my spiritual fervor in serving. I want to finish well. And I've been thinking about this. The very fact that it says, don't lose your spiritual fervor, tells me that I can lose it. Not going to lose my salvation, but I can lose my spiritual vigor, my spiritual strength, my spiritual enthusiasm. It can wane. And I want to finish well. So I've been thinking about this. Sadly, I have some friends. I had a very good friend who was a really good Bible teacher. And sadly, he divorced his wife. And while he's still working in the world, doing good work, he's no longer a Bible teacher. He seems to have lost his spiritual zeal. And now somebody else, again, he was a Bible teacher. And I was using him in South Sudan to run conferences. And he started off very well. But something happened about money. I still don't understand it. And he went off and he lost his spiritual fervor. So we can lose our spiritual fervor. And if you look at the book of Hebrews chapter 11, this whole list of people, do you know what it says at the end? They were still living by faith when they died. Hallelujah, that's what I want. I want still to be living by faith right at the end. I don't want to finish with a whimper. I want to keep going strong. And I've been thinking about it. How do I keep my spiritual fervor? Now, obviously, there's many, many ways to do it. And I've recently read a book that says don't cram too much into the sermon. Very, very difficult, because you can just so overload people. So I've just picked, you know, six things. I'm joking, joking, joking. But I have just picked a few things. Now, you may have other ways of keeping your spiritual fervor, your vigor for the Lord. But my first one was, do remember the past. Do remember the past. Do remember those times when God has done something fantastic. You will know in the book of, Joshua, I think it is. Anyway, they're going into the promised land. And there's this river in front of them, and it's in full flood. And how are they going to cross this river? And he tells them to pick up this box, the box of the tabernacle, which at that time was the visible presence of God. And they had it on poles, and the first guys had to walk into the river. Now, I wouldn't mind being at the back, but can you imagine? You're on the front of the pole, and you're carrying the tabernacle, and you have got to walk into that raging river. And as you put your foot down into the river, so it stops. And they hold this box in the middle of the river until a whole group of them pass through. And then they're told to put stones on the side of the river. Why are they told to put stones? To remember what God has done. And what did Jesus say when he did the Last Supper? When he took the sign? Do this in remembrance of me. It is so important to remember back what God has done. Those special times. I tell you, I really wish that I had kept a spiritual diary. I wish I had. As I get older, I become more forgetful. I'm sure nobody else has this problem, but I'm becoming more forgetful. I do remember some things that God has done, but I really wish now that I'd kept a spiritual diary just to remember those special times when God has done something and God has been real. So that's the first thing. Do remember the past. But then I would say, seriously seek God's presence today. Seriously seek God's presence. You know, the Apostle Paul said in Philippians, he said, I want to know Christ and the power. Has it gone off? Okay, talk about losing the flow. I would say seriously, seek God's presence. The Apostle Paul said, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his suffering, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain the resurrection from the dead. I want to know Christ. And that's my desire. I really want to know Christ. There are many ways, many different ways of seeking God. There's many different ways of experiencing his presence. There's many different ways to listen to his voice. And I would just encourage you, seriously seek his presence. But these are just a few thoughts. You may or may not find them helpful. But somebody said to me once, he said, and I found it quite helpful, he said, the Bible is like a window. The Bible is like a window, and it's a window onto the heart of God. It's a window that reveals to you God. It reveals Jesus to you. And he said, many people focus on the frame of the window. They can tell you all sorts of things about the Bible. They can spout all sorts of information about the Bible. But they don't really know Christ. And that's what I want. I want to know Christ. I want to seek his presence. I want to learn to listen to his voice. And I know recently that my prayer life has not been as good as it used to be. And it's got very weak and wishy-washy. And I've been a bit concerned about that. And I wanted to really improve my spiritual life. I don't want to lose my spiritual vigor. And I was reading this book. It was a book called Honest to God by Bill Hybels. And one of the chapters in it was about spirituality. And he said, one of the keys to a strong spiritual life is to journal. Now, I'm not really into journaling. I don't like journaling. It's just not me. Journaling is when you write. And he encouraged through the pages of this book to start journaling. And I was very reluctant. I tried it in the past. It had not really worked. But I decided to follow what he'd said. And what he does, and I found this very interesting. I've only been doing it for a few months, but I found it very invigorating. He writes at the top of the page, yesterday. Yesterday. And then you start writing what you did yesterday. Well, I tell you, to start with, you think, God, what did happen yesterday, you know? It's very, very interesting. I've already forgotten what happened yesterday. But as I start to write, I start to remember things. And the point is, you are writing to think and evaluate what you did yesterday. Was it good? Could I have done it better? Could I have had better conversation? Could I have handled people better? I found that very, very... I don't write a lot, just a little bit like that. Not a great deal. And then the next thing is acts. You know, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. Well, I'm not very good at adoration. So I've changed that. And what I write now is I appreciate. And I think, what do I appreciate about God? Again, I don't write very much. But it has been very stimulating. As I write, I appreciate some of the things I've been writing. Nothing really fancy or anything great. But I have found it very invigorating. Then confession. Well, boy, you know. You start writing, and it's not, oh, Lord, forgive me, I have sinned. It's no good doing that. You've got to be specific. Well, anyway, I'm not going to tell you what I write. But I tell you, when you write, you think, gee whiz, I hope nobody sees this, you know. What's my wife going to think, you know? But if you write it for 3 days on the trot, you start to think, my goodness, am I prepared to do something about this? It's getting more serious, you know. But I've found now very interesting, you know, the things that you think of as sins, and I'm writing completely different stuff now. You know, I don't want to pretend I'm really, really bad and really evil, but you know, it's really interesting. I sometimes say, Lord, is there anything in my life that is not pleasing to you? You know, really quite interesting. And then thanksgiving, and then supplication. Now, I haven't got too good at this next bit, but next bit is listening. I really want to learn to listen. I've never heard an audible voice of God. But Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I've laid down my life for the sheep, and my sheep listen to my voice. I want to learn to listen. I want to learn to experience the presence of God. So, I would say, be serious about seeking the presence of God. And then, thirdly, sorry, I was told I should just have one point. I can't do it. But anyway, there we go. Thirdly, what I would say is this. Deliberately cultivate dependable friends. Deliberately cultivate dependable friends. You know, when I was traveling with a friend of mine, Ian Newton, you may know him, he used to be the pastor of Orchard Lane, and we were talking about this and about not losing a spiritual vigor. He said, I wonder how many of us actually have spiritual conversations with one another. And I think he's right. You know, we can come to church, you can come to church, we can listen to the sermon, and then what do we talk about after church? How often do we have really in-depth spiritual conversations with people? How many of us have people that we can honestly open up with? You know? And I have started to really try to cultivate a few friends. I wouldn't do it with everybody, but a few friends that I can open my heart to who will help me on the journey. You know, it says in Ecclesiastes the importance of having friends, because if one falls down, there's somebody else to pick them up. And I just wonder if, John, can I just ask you to come out a moment? Yes, John, can you come out? I just want to show you something. It's very, and Charlie, or whatever your name is, can I ask yours also? God, I'll never forget this. Okay, now what I want to do is, can I put my arm through you like that? And can I put my arm through you like that? Can you see the difference? Two good friends. They're different, but I could share with them. Mm. And if I fall, they will help me. Can you see the importance of having friends? Friends who will ask you questions, who will help you in the journey, who will help you to remain spiritually strong. Thank you, Charlie. Oh, John, it gets worse and worse, doesn't it? Honestly, thank you so much. Oh, dear. Honestly, it's a good job Helen's not here. She'd be crawling out the door by now. You can tell names are not my strong point. And this, there are many, many other things, but this is my last point. And my last point is really, remain spiritually active to the end. Remain spiritually active to the end. Now, if you're 80 years old or over 80 years old, then it's okay to settle down a little bit, okay? I accept that when you're 80 or over, you need to slow down just a little bit, okay? I accept that. But even if we cannot do as much as we used to do 20 or 30 years ago, I would like to encourage you to remain spiritually active right to the very end. Let us be a people who finish well. I'd just like to ask you, when did you last set yourself some sort of spiritual challenge? Now, I'm not going to tell you what sort of spiritual challenge, but, you know, when did you last set yourself some sort of spiritual challenge? For me, I've recently started learning memory verses again. A few years ago, I really wanted to learn, before I died, 100 memory verses. I don't know where I gave up, but it all got totally confusing. And I gave up. I totally gave up. But, probably about a month ago, I've started again, and I'm off again. I don't know how many I will get to. But, you know, I don't know what your spiritual challenge would be, but let's remain spiritually active. And I want to say, look, over there, one day is the finishing line. One day, God will call us up yonder. Are we still going to be running that spiritual race of faith? Let us be a people who are running right to the very end. I sometimes listen to... I'm getting worse and worse. What's that online thing? Anyway, never mind. Frustration. Sometimes you can go online and you can listen to sermons and you can listen to talks. And there's a guy called Francis Chan. And I was just listening to one of his talks. And he said something that really struck me. And I've been thinking about it. He said, do something that requires faith. Do something that requires faith. And I'm not asking people to be foolish. But that was his challenge. Do something that requires faith. And also, I heard somebody say, you know, Canon Andrew White, who was called the Vicar of Baghdad, apparently he had a mentor who used to be the Archbishop of Canterbury, and his name was Donald Cogan. Cogan, have I got his name right? Cogan? I might not be pronouncing it right. He was the Vicar of Baghdad's mentor. And when they parted, he didn't say, take care. He said, take risks. Take risks. And I've been thinking about signing off my letters and emails instead of every blessing in Christ or blessings to you. I've been thinking about writing take risks. I haven't quite got it. Take a risk. Yes, take a risk. And I just would like to conclude with this. You know, one day we will be crossing that finishing line. And maybe like me, you've had a hip operation. And maybe the knees don't work quite so well. And maybe there's a little bit of back pain. And maybe the eyes don't see quite so well. And maybe you no longer have a full set of teeth, you know. But let us be running when we cross that line. You know, in athletics, when you watch them going round and round, I'm sure we've seen them on the television, they run round the circuit. And then a bell goes for the last lap. And what happens on the last lap? They speed up, don't they? The pace gets stronger. And then when they get into the finishing line, they're going flat out. Let us be a people who are spiritually strong right to the very end.